All right, everybody, this is the We Are Faith podcast. Welcome back for another week of exciting content. We are joined this week by our pastor, Michael Patterson, and First Lady, Sister Wendy Patterson, as well as our host, Madison Partlow, and myself, Josh Partlow. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about rebuild. Pastor, you have had this vision for us of rebuild as our vision casting for the last 3 years. We want to know everything. Can you tell us where it came from, what your vision is, you know, what put it on your heart to want to go 3 years in a row with this? Tell us everything. We want to know everything.
Absolutely. So rebuild was definitely a vision from the Lord. And it came from the book of Psalms 127, verse 1, where it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." And as I was praying, our church had gone through so many difficult seasons and a challenge, personally, individually, and even collectively as well. And I felt like it was time that, as in my prayer, that the Lord was bringing to my heart and my mind that we needed to rebuild some things, because many times when you go through challenges, trials, and tribulations of life, oftentimes you feel like you lose everything. And I believe that the rebuild theme and vision was reminding us that all was not lost, that there was still substance, that there was still goodness and righteousness and holiness and wonderful things in our lives. There was miracles and blessings. And there are some things that we just needed to rebuild in our personal life. And as we did that as individuals, we could also do that collectively as a church. So we began to rebuild. And we were rebuilding our faith, rebuilding our prayer life, rebuilding our commitment to the Word of God, to our church attendance, to our giving of our tithe, our time, our talent, our treasure. We were rebuilding it all. And not that everything was lost, but some things just we needed to shore up some loose ends on. And there are some things that, like, there's an old TV show that talks about the good bones, and it talks about the structure of the house. The framework is still pretty much there, but you had to take it down to the framework and basically to the foundation sometimes, and you had to rebuild some walls, and you had to put up some new sheetrock, and you had to install new air conditioned units and appliances and all of the different floorings and ceilings and whatnot. And I believe that's what we do as children of God when we are rebuilding our faith, when we are rebuilding our life. We're doing so in a way that we reevaluate everything that we are doing already as a Christian, and we are doing our very best to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And as we are doing it, we're rebuilding these things. We're revisiting our foundation. And I've been on a series of our foundation in this rebuild vision. And in fact, I taught an entire year series on foundation.
Amen.
And it has been absolutely wonderful. I love teaching about all things foundation. But rebuild basically reminded us that all was not lost, but anything that was lost can be brought back, can be rebuilt, and God can restore, renew, refocus, revive, all of these aspects of our life. And so I'm very thankful for the rebuild vision that was at least a 3 year, if not up to maybe a 5 year vision that the Lord has placed on our heart. And I'm thankful that we've been able to be a part of it. And I've seen God do some miraculous things as He's rebuilt families, He's rebuilt communities, rebuilt friendships, rebuilt relationships. He has rebuilt so many aspects of our faith and our prayer and our worship and our giving. And so rebuild was all about that, God doing a work on us individually, but also collectively. And I'm thankful for what God has rebuilt in my life as well. Of course, I have my wife here with me, and God has rebuilt our lives in a direction that we never knew exactly it would go until we found ourselves in a place where we were completely lost. And the Lord brought us together for such a time as this. And here we are now. And God is doing amazing things. And I'm very thankful. I'm going to let her talk a little bit about what rebuild means to her as well.
Well, just sitting here looking at just the words in front of us, the rebuild, you know, it just kept coming back to my mind, like the beginning of the word, the R-E, mm-hmm. you know, just means to do it over again.
Right.
And, you know, there's things that we do through our lives that we've done and we're like, you know what? That was not the best way that could have been done. You know, maybe I did that according to my own will and wants instead of what the Lord had for me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, you know, let's get back to the foundation.
That's right.
And let's redo it. Let's redo it and let's do it better this time.
Right.
Let's do it where, you know, God, this has been a terrible season, a terrible thing, but let me rebuild my life better to the whatever your will is and to the specifications that you give in your word. And, you know, with the verse, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And we can catch ourselves getting to that point where we're just building it and we're building it because, you know, this is what we feel like we're supposed to do. We're busy. We're busy in our ministry and we're busy in church work and we're busy in whatever we think is the way that it should be. And we're just doing it in vain. You know, we're building it, but we're not building it to the specifications the way that the Lord wants us to do.
Right.
And that can crumble really quickly. So it's just meant a lot to me in the sense of, you know, okay, God's mercies are new every day.
Every day.
And, you know, the re in that word just means, okay, you know, let's do it again. It came down to the foundation. We still stand on those principles. Let's try it again. And, you know, it's not rebuilt.
Right.
It's rebuild. It's still an action of a present tense.
That's right. You know,
if it's rebuilt, it's done.
Right.
You know, and it's a
process.
It's a continual process.
Absolutely, it is. And I'm very thankful that the Lord does not expect us to start at the finish line.
Right.
I've preached that many, many times. We were never intended to start at the finish line. And I'm thankful for God's mercies, His goodness, His grace that is with us every day in the process, in the middle of the process as we are being renewed, refreshed, refocused, revived. It's an amazing thing to see what God has done, but not only what He has done and what He is doing, but what He's going to do. He continues to do every single day.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that, you know, we have personal rebuilding that we do.
Yes.
But then that just extends over into the people that you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. And then as you are going through these rebuilding times, then other people around you are, and then you grow and you come together as a group, and then you really rely on those people.
Right.
And you realize what blessings they are and the blessings that you have, and you look around and you're like, you know what? We're in this together.
That's exactly right. None of us
have reached the finish line and none of us have arrived.
That's right.
You know, and we're going through it together. And then, you know, God's blessings are just all around you. And then sometimes we just have to open our eyes and look and see, you know, thank you, God, for getting me here and for blessing me and surrounding me with the people that are just trying to do the same thing that I'm doing.
That's exactly right. Because as the Lord has helped us to rebuild, He's brought the right people into our life to help us rebuild and into our church. And a couple of them are sitting right in front of
us
with the Partlows, with the host of the We Are Faith podcast, Josh and Maddie Partlow. What an amazing couple that they are. And I'm thankful that the Lord saw fit in our rebuild process to bring them into our lives. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be sitting here recording this podcast right now and doing what we are doing for the kingdom work of God. And I'm glad that we get to do ministry together. This is part of the rebuild vision in action right here.
That's right.
So true. And I'll open up with this, and my wife can definitely tag in. When we came here, we were in desperate need of a rebuild.
Sure.
And I will say to anybody that is hearing this on the airwaves, if you need a place to be rebuilt and to rebuild, it is Faith Tabernacle.
Amen.
It came from a situation where, unfortunately, things happen, right. And our church was not able to sustain itself and had to close the doors,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So we came here in a different mind frame than what you see a lot of saints enter the doors of a church building. So, right. Coming here and experiencing that vision and seeing a group of leaders that were willing to invest, in our family. My wife and I weren't married at the time. We were just dating. I think we were engaged, right? I'm probably going to get in trouble after the show for not remembering the exact time frame, but I'm doing my best, right?
Right.
I'm doing
That's
my best.
Right.
But we were dating at the time, and we needed that healing process that
sure.
comes from a rebuild.
Sure.
And I think the good thing about the rebuild vision is, like you said, it's not specific to the church. It could be individual,
right.
as a group, as a church, whatever the case is. And like Josh said, when we came here, we were coming from a place of we had things in our own life that we had to rebuild. But it kind of was like a full circle moment for me coming here, because
sure.
I came here when I was little.
Right.
And not something that I've shared with a lot of people, but some of the first like light bulb moments in my head of like, I need to live for God, I need to mm-hmm. do this, was sitting in the youth under you and
wow.
Brother Ashley.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And so to be able to come back here as an adult and yeah. be on the staff and to serve with the same people who may not even know that they planted a seed in my
exactly.
life many
yeah.
years ago has helped rebuild some things as well, because it's like you guys poured into me years ago.
Sure.
And now together we can pour into other people and make
yeah.
the same impact on other people that you guys have been able to make on me, and just being able to have, I guess, the church on the same mindset of it's time for us to take time to rebuild the things in our life. Because I think one thing that we don't realize is rebuilding is not an easy process.
It's
and
right.
sometimes
You're right.
the things that you need to rebuild, you don't know are broken.
Yes.
That's
until
right.
there's nothing left for you to stand on.
Wow.
Like,
come on, somebody.
Like you're down back at the foundation. You're not.
Yeah.
at level three, like you were, the foundation, the stairs have broken, the walls have broken, and you have nowhere to go except back to where you were.
That's
and
right.
being able to be here with the church and in such a loving environment that everybody is working on themselves and in turn working with their groups, their friends, their families, and then as a church, watching the growth has just been something that I have really enjoyed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I believe
awesome.
That you see that. When people come in, they feel oftentimes that all has been lost.
Right.
That they don't, they, it's like a fish out of water. And I remember years ago when my grandfather and I were helping another minister that was going through a very difficult time in his life. And he made the statement, he said, "I just feel like a fish out of water." And my grandfather immediately responded to him. He said, "But you're still a fish."
Yeah.
Yeah.
"We're going to get you back in the water." And that was that really changed my life, to know that even though I wasn't feeling like a fish out of water at the time, that I could just as easily be in that man's position, feeling like a fish out of water, feeling like everything was lost, all hope was gone, and everything that I had worked so hard for over the years just was all of a sudden taken from me. And I have felt that way in some aspects of my life, but even through everything I've gone through, people have said, "Well, Pastor, it didn't seem like you even missed a beat, like you just kept going and kept going." I said, "It was a struggle. It was hard. It was difficult. I had to be intentional, and I had to make myself do some things that I did not want to do naturally. Emotionally, I did not want to do them, but I did it anyways because I knew that God's calling was still upon my life. His anointing was still upon my life, and I did not want to waste that or it to be in vain. But I did want to make sure that whatever I was going through, that it was not going to be in vain,
right.
that I wanted it to change my life. I wanted to impact others' lives as well. And I wanted to make sure that other people knew that if I can do it, anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like a fish out of water, if you feel like God is trying to rebuild some things in your life, just keep fighting. Right. Keep serving, keep loving, keep giving, keep doing what God has called you to do as much as you can, and God will put you back in a place where not only will He restore the things that you have lost, but He will enlarge your territory, right. And He will make things better and greater, and not that what we had before was not great in that season, but God is going to use what we've gone through and rebuild it, like my wife said just a moment ago, stronger. And sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes God has to allow us, our mm-hmm. lives, to be broken down so that He can rebuild us in the way that we need to be rebuilt for the season that is ahead of us.
Right.
I think too, the saying comes to mind, or the scripture comes to mind, that the latter house shall be greater than the former house.
Yes.
Mm. And I think when I was listening to a message one time about the latter house being greater than the former house, they were talking about how God can't bless a house that you don't build.
Yes.
And so a lot of times when we do find ourselves in situations where we're back at square one, mm-hmm. what we knew or what the season of life we were in is no more, we don't know what to do, we often wait and we expect sure. God to, okay, God, how are you going to get me out of this? And what right. are you going to do?
Right.
And how are you going to get me to the next step? But we don't realize that God's a lot of times waiting on us yes. to take the first step and mm-hmm. to be faithful and to just say, okay, this is where you want me to be. This is what I'm going to do.
Right.
But God can't bless that if we're not willing to yield to whatever it is that He has for us in that season and do what He's asking us to do.
That's exactly right. That's
Sometimes you have to drive a nail.
Yes, you do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you all don't know, I'll confess this on the airwaves. My wife is my ghostwriter for my sermons. I'm kidding. But I do look to her a lot because, you know, it's wisdom like that.
Sure.
Right. That has helped me as well through the process.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, as you know, she was speaking about, and I'll circle back to this, you know, as she was speaking about having been here before mm-hmm. and gone to a, you know, a different church home, and certainly no, you know, degradation towards that or anything
right.
or that church itself, right. but working in a home missions work can. It can be challenging,
sure,
right? And it can wear certain parts of you down. And so I think that rebuilding, if I can close a gap here for those that may be listening that think that it's only for those that have left the church or fallen out of the church, right. I need daily maintenance.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
Right. You know, my house, but I got to change the light bulb every once in a while.
That's right.
You know,
right.
when I have owned houses, I've had to do the work, right? I've had to do the maintenance work. So the rebuild vision isn't just simply, it isn't just foundation up. It's also simply sometimes driving a nail.
That's right.
Changing a light bulb, going into a dark room in your life that's needed some work for a while.
Yes, sir.
And redoing the electrical work, right?
Yes,
getting
sir.
The lights back on in there and opening up that place again where it can be lived in again mm-hmm. and become a dwelling place once again.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Whenever I was preaching the rebuild vision casting service, I did so in 2023 was when the vision began. And as we were preaching it, God revealed to me some things that not only the church needed to rebuild, but some of the things I needed to rebuild in my own life, because there's a lot of things that looked really good on the exterior, but on the interior, there are some things that needed some repairs, needed some attention, and some things may have needed to, as simple as just another coat of paint, a fresh coat of paint. Another area of my life may needed to be completely remodeled, mm-hmm. and be remodeled, and just the walls cut out, expanded, new flooring, new walls, new lighting, new plumbing, new electricity, everything. And I remember when my wife and I got married, right before we got married, I started a remodel project in our kitchen. And anybody that has ever gone through a remodel of their house and had to still live in the house in the middle of the remodel knows that it gets uncomfortable. It's not very easy. And I was only remodeling one area of my house, but it had an immediate effect on every other area of the house, especially internally. And it affected everybody that came in the door and everybody that walked out. Mm-hmm. And everything from the sheetrock dust, starting out actually with the demolition. We had some help with the demolition, but it took some people that knew what they were doing to actually rebuild it to the specifications that it needed to be to function right. Right. There's a lot of people in our lives that have no problem demolishing something. They will help us break down some walls and tear it down. But sometimes we have to get the right people in the right places that have the right knowledge and the right wisdom and are sent by God because they have the ability to build it back the way it should. And so sometimes, even when we're rebuilding areas in our own life, sometimes we can't just keep going back to our personal friends and the ones that we know are going to be a yes man in our life. We need somebody that's going to tell us the truth and say, okay, you want some help? Here's how to do it, how to do it the right way. And that's one thing I love about this rebuild vision is that it's not just a overall church vision about how we're going to make things look better around the church campus, but it is spiritually rebuilding our lives from the inside out, really. And that's just like holiness, though, and righteousness, that holiness is an outward thing that shows forth. It's an outward manifestation of an inward transformation.
Right.
And so we understand that we may manifest what God is doing on the inside. We may manifest it on the outside, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of work that has to be done on the inside first for God to manifest his works on the outside. And then as he does that, we are so thankful that we have a new kitchen now that's been remodeled. It's beautiful. It's like instead of the living room, the family gathers in the kitchen because it's so nice.
Right.
But right before we got married, it wasn't that pretty. And then
it was messy.
It was a big mess. Mm-hmm. And then we actually went on a honeymoon before it was completely finished. And we were scared to leave the kids there by themselves because we didn't know how it would look when we got back. But thankfully, when we got back, everything was still the way it was when we left it. Everything was good, and we continued to add on. But we had to tear down some things to rebuild it, and not that it was completely different. But what happened is that, yes, I still had the refrigerator in the kitchen. I had the oven. I had the microwave, had the dishwasher and the sink. I had all that, but they were remodeled and rebuilt and replaced with upgraded appliances and new countertops and cabinets and paints, and everything was expanded. And that's what God does. In fact, I believe in rebuilding, he expands our territory to create more room for us to receive more of what God has in store for us.
I think it's interesting that you say that, Pastor. Very quickly, I'll say it's interesting that that all happened as you were going into a new season of your life.
Absolutely.
You needed something that could accommodate, that new season of life.
Yes.
So to play on to that as well, I think sometimes what we don't realize is in seasons of rebuilding and going back to the theme of your kitchen, when you were rebuilding, and like you said, I think it is very important to have a group of people in your life who are okay with being honest with you.
Yes.
Because a lot of times when you are rebuilding and you're tearing things down to make it better, it's going to kick up dust in places you didn't know needed to be cleaned. Yes, it is.
Come on, somebody.
And you're going to find pieces of what was broken and where you tore down a long time to come. Like, I'm sure you guys were cleaning up dust in your living room for a long time to come. And we have to be prepared that just when one section is done and clean and finished, that doesn't mean the project itself is done,
right?
Because there's still other areas that could be cleaned up to be better and help go along with what you've already done in another place.
That's exactly right. Yeah. My wife knows all about that, how much time it took us to clean up. And you mentioned a while ago, it was messy.
Oh, it was extremely messy. And just the dust, even the measures that were taken to kind of help with it, you know, there were things that were hung from the ceiling to the floor to help the dust from scattering into the other rooms. You know, even with those measures in place, it still found its way to the other rooms.
But isn't that like God too, when you're like, okay, these are my parameters, A, B, C, D, I'm only working on this thing, and God's like, just kidding, we're gonna clean up over here.
That's
in aisle three.
Yeah, this area is gonna be affected. This room needs a little bit of attention, even though you think you're good with just focusing on this. There are this room and this room and this room. There's a little bit of dust even upstairs. That's
right. Yes, ma'am.
I think we should paint a picture, though, for those that have maybe never been to your house, Pastor, that this island that you put in your kitchen is the size of my first apartment. It's massive.
It is.
And I think to that point, sometimes it takes an overhaul like that to accommodate those situations, you know, and with, you know, at the time, four kids living in the house, two adults, constant company being the pastor's house, right? What better way to enlarge your territory, right, than to quite literally enlarge your territory?
That's exactly right. And it took time, and I wanted it done yesterday.
Right.
I wanted it done, you know, just like we demo it one day and I wanted it perfect the next day. But it took a long time for us to be able to do that. And this was something that I'd been wanting to do for years, but at the time I couldn't afford to do it. And finally I'd saved up the money to be able to do it. And so this was a project that had started years ago. And oftentimes, this is the way that God works in our lives, is that we may have a promise, that there may have been a prophecy, or there may have been a word of faith, or something that was spoken over our lives years ago, and we expected God to just bring it to pass immediately. But sometimes it takes days, weeks, months, years, and even decades, sometimes even generations later, for that promise to come to pass. But if we're faithful in the process, no matter how messy it gets, no matter how much attention it brings to other areas of our lives, that some of them may not need to be rebuilt, but they just needed to be cleaned up a little bit.
Right.
Some attention brought to them as well.
I would like to go back to the point that you made about, or what we discussed about, surrounding yourself with people as the right people in the right positions to help rebuild whatever walls were torn down or whatever. You know, you have to surround yourself with people that are going to put as much care and concern and effort and time into helping you rebuild something as if they were rebuilding it for themselves.
That's right. That's right.
You know, if I need to surround myself with somebody that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help rebuild my house just as good as they would their own houses. So I think it's extremely crucial.
It's a personal investment.
Yeah.
In something that I believe one of the greatest ways that we can allow God to do a work in our life and bless us is if we will be a blessing to others,
right?
And invest in other people's lives, because the gospel is not selfish. The body of Christ is not called to be selfish. We are called to be givers, to be servants, to love God and to love others. In fact, years ago, and I made this a motto of my life series that Bishop Patterson, my grandfather, had taught, and his title was servant of God, servant to man. And the idea was simply that we are all servants of God Almighty, but the way we serve God is by serving others,
right?
Serving other people. And that's what we are called to do. And as we are rebuilding, and God's rebuilding a lot in our life, we do have to focus on a lot of things that he's doing in our life, but we cannot forget what God is trying to do in the lives of other people and how we can play a crucial part in what God is doing in other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And as he is doing that, we all are rebuilt together.
Right. That's so good. And I think we've got to come up with a term for like these Bishop Patterson nuggets of wisdom,
A
bishopism or something. It's got, there's got to be a term because we all have them, right?
Oh yeah,
yes, and, sir.
You know, I think to both of your points, something that keeps jumping out at me is I think about the gifts, right? And I think about how we want to surround ourselves with people who are differently gifted than we are,
sure.
Right? I'll use Pastor Tyler Newborn, our discipleship pastor, an example. He is gifted in this word of knowledge where mm-hmm. he can come up and say something
right
to somebody that he may have never spoken to before.
Sure.
And it's just incredible to watch it happen. And
right.
I say that to say that I've got to be surrounded by somebody with that gift.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But I also need to be around somebody and have someone in my life that, is gifted in, the gift of prophecy,
sure.
right? That can maybe speak something that's going to come to pass.
Right.
And I say all that to say that if you go to a job site, Pastor, you don't find everybody's a bunch of carpenters.
Right.
Right. Right. You've got to have people who are differently gifted in your mm-hmm. life that's not afraid to drive a nail or
right.
solder a joint.
Right.
Right? Or I'm not a carpenter or an electrician or a plumber,
sure.
so I'm going to run out of metaphors here. But the point is that you've got to have people that have these different abilities and surround mm-hmm. yourself with these people that are not afraid to invest those talents into you.
That's exactly right. And I believe that's how we are stronger together. We are greater together.
Right.
Because the Lord created us for togetherness. He even, in his word, he talks about no man is an island.
Right.
And no man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. And so we understand that we are made for the glory of God, and everything that we do should be for his glory. But one of the greatest ways we can glorify God is by using our gifts and our talents, our abilities to serve others and to help others grow. And another phrase of bishopism, whatever you called it. Another thing my grandfather taught me for many years, he said, one of the greatest ways that you can go up is by lifting other people up.
Yes.
He said, first you got to lift up the Lord, and then from there you lift others up. And as you're lifting others up, you go up with them.
Right.
And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do through this podcast. That's what we want to do through the ministry of our church. This is what we want to do for the kingdom of God. It's not just about building this church. It's about building the kingdom of God. But I will tell you, I'm very thankful we get to do ministry together.
Yes.
God has Amen. Given us a great pastoral staff. And of course, you mentioned the newborns, and the Nils have been with us for decades now. And you have the Greenleaves, you have the Vaughns, you have, of course, yourselves, us, Sheree, and so many others that help us as we grow. But you think of all the elders in our mm-hmm. church. You think of Bishop and Mother Patterson. You think of Brother Joe and Sister Rosie Patterson. You think of people like one of my best friends growing up, Brother Ryan Mathis and his family. You know, we all have gone through these seasons of life that we've had to rebuild some things that you know, quite frankly, I was very comfortable in the way life was going, even though there were some challenges and difficulties like there are in everybody's life, I was very thankful for my life and for everything that was going on in my life. But when everything changed just drastically and so quickly, I immediately had to turn to the Lord because I didn't know where else to go. And I will tell you, and whoever's listening to this podcast today, I want you to be encouraged that you can always turn to the Lord, and He will never fail you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you until the very end, even when you feel like you're at the end of the rope, that there's nothing left to hold on to. You can still make it because God has a divine purpose for your life, and what the enemy meant to destroy you with, God will use to develop you with. And I believe everything that we go through is for a purpose. And whether or not God actually did it to us or allowed it to happen in our life, however it came, sometimes they're self-inflicted wounds and difficulties and challenges. And it's not always that the devil made me do it. You know,
right.
Sometimes those temptations do come up or whatever, but life just happens. But I can guarantee you this, no matter where the storm comes from, no matter what challenge comes your way, God will work all things for your good. And if you want God to rebuild some things in your life, start with the simple things. Start with your prayer and fasting and Bible reading and Bible study, church attendance, giving of your tithe and your offering, giving yourself to serving the kingdom of God through the local church. This is the way that God rebuilds your life. And in doing that, you will see step by step, it may not be giant leaps, but it could be small steps because the Lord is building the house. And we that labor are laboring for the glory of God, and we're not doing it in vain because God is building the house.
Amen.
I agree. I think, too, one thing that we, when it comes to rebuilding, that we have to keep in mind going along with what you said is in order to rebuild something in your life spiritually, you have to be vulnerable.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to say, okay, this is the issue, this is what needs to be fixed. And I'm not talking about like partially vulnerable, like,
sure,
okay, God, I think I need to work on this, but I'm not sure. In order for God to rebuild it inside of you, you have to know, like, this is, I don't want to say a problem, but this
right.
is the problem. This
right.
is the issue. This is where I need to clean up. And you have to be willing to be vulnerable so that
yes.
He can work, you know, work it out and fix it along with you doing what He's asking you to do. But a season of rebuild does not mean a season of weakness.
Amen.
If anything, to rebuild something, you have to have strength.
Yes.
But in order to get to that place of having strength, you have to first be vulnerable and say, okay, there's nothing else I can do. This is what it is.
That's
and
right.
then with the group of people that will lift you up and carry you, it's okay to be messy. It's okay to, you know, like lay on the floor and cry if that's what you need to do.
That's
but,
right.
But that is the beauty of the rebuild process is once you get to the end, you can look back on each nail and each stair and
oh,
each
yes.
Piece of sheetrock and see, okay, this is where I did this and this is where I did this and this is where Pastor helped me do this. But you got to where you were because you were strong enough to say, I can't do it and I can't do it by myself.
Amen.
That's good. And that's a very hard thing to do, that to admit that, to admit those vulnerabilities of I can't, I'm not able to do this by myself, you know, especially for those that are, you know, kind of strong-willed and independent and all of those
You're
things.
You're not talking about
Amen.
My wife.
Oh, no, or myself, you know, whatever.
Or but, my wife, yeah.
Yeah. But that's a difficult thing to do. And you will, you're right. We will never get to the point of the things in our life that we need to see that need to be rebuilt until we become vulnerable with God and with the people that we know and trust that
That's
are surrounding
right.
us.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. You got to be able to trust God and trust the people that He has put in your life. But the bishop, again, always used to tell me, he said, you're know and you're knower.
Is that, yes.
How do I know I can do this? How do I know who I can trust? How do I know that this will happen? And years ago, we're about to make our transition in him becoming bishop of the church and I becoming senior pastor. And for at least 5 years, we had some serious conversations about it. From the time I was 21 years old and became an associate pastor to the time I was 26 and actually was elected to serve as the senior pastor of this church, I remember having some serious conversations with Bishop. I was like, you know, can you give me a timeline? Is there something that you can, you know, is there a date? Is how is this going to happen? And he kept replying to me, son, we'll know when we know. Mm-hmm. We'll know when we know. Right. I'm like, that's not a good answer for me.
That's not what I'm looking for.
We'll know when we know. But I came to realize that there is a spiritual unction. There is a spiritual guidance that only came from the Lord. And we did know when it was time for us to know. And I know that God is doing great things. I don't know all the great things that he's doing, but I know he's doing some great things. And sometimes we just got to trust that we'll know when we know. Mm-hmm. When God reveals it to us, then it's time for us to know and then walk through that door and allow God to continue the rebuild process in our life.
Amen. I think what a wonderful note to close on, Pastor. I'll simply say this and hopefully do some of that justice, that something I said in a message a few weeks ago, that he was a carpenter long before he was ever working on the framework of my home.
Amen.
Right.
Long before the framework of my heart was ever founded, he was working on a table somewhere. Yes. You know? So I think the theme here is trust him.
Yes.
Trust in his ability to rebuild. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're so thankful that all of you were able to join us today. Pastor, First Lady, my wonderful wife, thank you all so much for being here. This has been another episode of We Are Faith Podcast. We love you. We are Faith.